Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we meditate on the Gospel reading from Matthew 11, verses 16 through 30, and we'll pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the blessing of being back together in worship, and we pray that you watch over us this day as we hear your word, as we meditate on it, and as we receive the precious gift of the Lord's Supper. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the best invitation you have ever received? Apart, of course, from the invitation to be back at worship at St. Mark's. Is there an invitation that stands out to you? A birthday, a wedding, an anniversary you're invited to? Is there an invitation that surprised you, or that honoured you, or that excited you to receive? Was there an invitation that you didn't expect that did come, or simply one that was a long time in coming? Today, Jesus gives us the best invitation we could ever imagine. In fact, it's better than we could ever imagine. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." You see, Jesus, unlike anyone else, knows exactly, precisely what we need in this life, and he invites us to come to him to receive it. He calls it rest, rest for our souls, peace deep within us. This is what Jesus so desperately wants for us. And in order to get us there today, he takes us through an observation, a denunciation, a revelation, and then in closing, an invitation. So let's look at each of these in turn. Firstly, his observation. "To what can I compare this generation?" he says. "They're like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out, 'We played the pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn.'" Jesus is comparing the people of his day to this group of children playing a game out in the marketplace. And no matter what they invite the other children to do, to play, they don't seem interested. So whether it's a joyful song, a fun game, they want to sing and play along, or whether it's a somber tune, something a little more serious they invite them to be part of, the other kids aren't interested. They're being childish in the worst sense of the word. They're sort of in a huff, pouting. Don't want to be part of it. Whatever it is, not interested. Jesus is saying the people of his day are likewise hard to please. Hard to please. "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say he's a glutton and a drunkard." We begin to see Jesus' point that people rejected John the Baptist for one reason, and they rejected Jesus for the opposite reason. They rejected John because they saw him as too much of an ascetic, you know, out in the wilderness, a separatist and an alarmist, and too much law and fire and brimstone, and he was too brash and he wasn't polished and whatever it was. So they reject him. Then along comes Jesus and they say, "Nah, he's too common, too social, spends time with the wrong sort of people, too much gospel, too much love." So they reject him as well. Hard to please, Jesus says. Hard to please. Now, John invited people to the funeral of repentance and they wouldn't come. Jesus invited them to the wedding feast of forgiveness and they still weren't interested. "But wisdom is proved right by her deeds," Jesus says. In other words, both John and Jesus were proclaiming the wisdom of God. It was one and the same message. It was God's wisdom for the people of that day. And wisdom is always relevant and it's always worth listening to and it's always, according to Jesus, proved right in the end. And yet he didn't think the people of that day were willing to listen, that they had ears to hear. I wonder what observation Jesus would make of us and our era and our generation? Are we also hard to please? Are we also quick to criticize? And what do our criticisms say, not about others, but about us? Do we lack wisdom, this wisdom Jesus is talking about? I was reading during the week a book by Max Lucado where he says that the age of information is the age of confusion. In other words, we know a lot of stuff. We've got a lot of information at our fingertips. Do we know how to use it? How to work through it? How to think about it? We've got the know what, but do we have the know why and the know how? I wonder if Jesus' observation would be just as accurate of our time, our day and our place. Well, this observation of his leads to what I'm calling the denunciation, which is also important for us to hear, although it's hard for us to hear when it gets left out of the lectionary reading, which it was today. But there's a little section you might have noticed that's missing from the reference from verse 20. And this is what it says. Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been done because they did not repent. Now, what Jesus is saying is that he's been moving from town to town and he's been doing such wonderful things, amazing miracles, and yet the people don't seem changed by it at all. And what he says to them is, look, if such great things were done in far more troublesome places, and he talks about Tyre and Sidon and Sodom and these places that were just known for their kind of their wretchedness. He says, if these things were done there, those people would have turned back to God. So trying to wake them up, rouse them up and prick their conscience at the same time. It's like if he said to us, you know, you people in Australia, you have it so good and you have no idea how good you have it. And if the people in Africa had half your prosperity, they'd have twice your gratitude. Something like that. You know, if the people in the Middle East, if they had half your peace and tranquility, they'd have twice your joy. Trying to prick our conscience, our collective conscience, about how good and how blessed we are. Now, it's obviously not nice to be denounced, and that's probably why it gets left out of the lectionary, but we have to look at who's speaking to us today. This is Jesus talking. You know, he's not some soapbox preacher just out to condemn people. This is our teacher and our Lord who's wanting to caution us and warn us about the perilous path that we sometimes put ourselves on. This is our trusted friend who's just wanting to be honest with us, saying we've got to sit up and take notice of these things, lest we head down that path. He wants us to realize the blessings we've received and the importance of turning back to God again and again and again. Now, as we turn back to him, as we take his observation seriously and even his denunciation seriously, we hear this revelation. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. Now, I hear Jesus saying, let's get back to basics. Hard to please people. Denounced cities. Let's get back to the core of who we are. The kingdom of God is in your midst. It's right in front of you. As you gather together, Christ is here, and therefore the kingdom of God is here. And he says, the wise and learned don't see it. They don't pick up on it. The scribes, the Pharisees, the social elite, the educated, whoever it is, he says, they miss it. But little children get it. Little children accept it. You see, the kingdom of God is different. It's accessible to all people. And there's a sense in which our youngest members and our littlest members have the most to teach us about how the kingdom of God is revealed and how it's to be accepted. Take it on as well. What's unique about children? Children don't lean on their own understanding. They don't rest on their own strength because they can't. But they know that, and so they go to the one who can help them, whose strength and understanding they can lean on. I had an opportunity to do a placement in a primary school during my SEM studies, And I remember vividly the first day I was there with a group of children in front of me. And I posed a question. I don't remember what the question was, but asked them to give some answers. And a little girl's hand in the front row just shot up straight away. And I thought, wow, this is pretty easy, this teaching gig. You just ask the questions and they answer them and it's sort of a piece of cake. And so I said to her, yep, what is it? And she looked at me and said, I don't know. And I thought, well, why'd you put your hand up then? But I've had that repeated, by the way, several times. And she wasn't afraid to tell. She just wanted to tell me. She was interested to talk, but she just wanted to tell me that she didn't know. And that's okay. She was okay with it, if I was okay with it. I think, yeah, kids, they don't lean on their own understanding. And they're quite upfront about the fact that they don't know everything and that that's okay. God reveals himself through his Son, Jesus Christ, to those who know that they don't know everything. To those who don't have all the answers. And yet to those who are willing to receive his revelation with that simple childlike faith. There's a lot we can learn from our smallest, our littlest members, and a lot God has to teach us and reveal to us through them. One commentator puts it like this: no one is so great that God needs him, and no one is so little that God can't reach him. We may be hard to please, we may be slow to repent, but we are never, ever beyond the reach of God. And so as we come to the conclusion of our text, Jesus offers us this beautiful invitation. And it's an invitation I've shared with many people in hospital beds and homes. It's a really important invitation for us to hear, not just early in our life, but late in our life as well. And it's this: come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The invitation here is to stop leaning on ourselves and our own strength and our own understanding, and to lean instead on him. To stop trying to fly solo through this life and to start flying as a team, flying with Christ. The yoke was the wooden cross piece that was laid over two animals, two work animals, to make them pull together and work together. Jesus is saying, come and be yoked with me. Work with me. Walk with me. Let me carry your heavy load and you carry my light one. Let me carry your sin and you carry my forgiveness. Let me carry your sorrow, you carry my joy. And so as we take up this invitation, we discover the blessings of God abound to us again and again as Jesus invites us to come and be yoked to him in this life, walk with him in this life, especially as the sin and the sorrow and the trials and the tribulations of life come our way. One commentator puts it like this: when the juice has been squeezed out of life, and we feel like it's only the rind that remains, Jesus invites us to come. Jesus offers refreshment, not escape, but refreshment, help, revitalization, forgiveness, grace, rest for our souls. He says he's gentle, he's humble. And he so dearly wants us to come and learn from him, to come and live our lives with him, to come and discover the peace he offers, a peace that is beyond our human understanding. May that peace guard your hearts and minds this day and every day in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your Son Jesus, you invite us to come and live with you, to come and learn from you, to come and receive your grace and mercy and peace. May it be ours this day and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.